The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Another angle on this whole horse racing situation, and not necessarily an angle that involves animal cruelty, even though that's been dominating the news over the last couple of weeks. But what a lot of people also don't think about is the damages that are caused to relationships when people excessively gamble on the horses. And of course, we've had the Geelong Cup last week, it's the Bendigo Cup this week, Melbourne Cup coming up next week. It is the season to be out there gambling, but it's very, very tough on families when people sometimes go to excess and go too far. With me on the line to talk about this now is Caroline Council. Caroline, thank you very much for being back on the program once again.
Oh, look, that's my pleasure. And I actually thought about this angle prior to the revelations in relation to cruelty to horses, but in my world, the world of separation and divorce and disintegration of families, it's unfortunate but true that the excesses of some of these cup meetings can adversely impact the family, hurt the family.
Well, do you notice that there is a spike in family breakdown at this time of year?
Look, I often get calls in Melbourne, or I'm also based in rural Victoria, and I often get calls from people that in distress saying, my relationship ended at the course. And they come in, and for you to end the family over a gambling incident or excessive alcohol or whatever it is, that is not a positive start to carrying on as parents in a separated family context. The families who think about it, plan for it, have counselling, support, make the right sort of decisions for their children at the right time, those families recover from separation a lot faster than families that have these explosive incidents where there's recrimination, anger, hurt, frustration, money being leached away from the family on gambling and gambling debts.
Although if this happens, if the family ends up breaking down because of gambling debts or excessive drinking, do those incidents tend to be the straw that broke the camel's back rather than the only reason for the family breaking up?
Look, you said it correctly. That's exactly the case. There's normally a lead-up or a build-up. It's a bit like Christmas is another a key time for families to come into grief with each other. But anything to do with that sort of hyper activity like gambling, alcohol, what's supposed to be a celebration can often deteriorate, but it's the lead up, it's the fact that somebody has been hanging on by a thread, hoping the behaviour of their partner would change. The behaviour doesn't change, it escalates, and then it can tip into, at worst, family violence, and indeed, as I said, money being leached away from the family when it needs it most, and that's at the time of separation.
Are there any positive stories in any cases? Are there times when people go to counselling and turn their life around, you know, and stop gambling and stop drinking?
Yeah, look, there's lots of those. I don't know of any family situation, even post-separation, where I do not recommend counselling. I can't recommend it enough. Even if the marriage can't be saved, you can save the nature of your relationship as parents, and then the kids at least won't be hurt by virtue of the separation. Sure, they're going to be sad, but the parents who separate with the kids in mind, take on the counselling, follow the counsellor's advice, those families, as I said, recover a lot better, because the kids just say, I love my mum, I love my dad, I want to see both of them, I want them to be okay. I want them to stop fighting. So counselling is an absolute must, in my opinion.
How common is it that the spouse that is engaged in gambling is keeping it hidden and the family doesn't really know about it until it's too late?
Look, a lot of information has also come out about the nature, the pernicious nature, the almost evil nature of certain types of gambling, the slot machines, for example. So those people try to cover their tracks, but invariably there's a paper trail these days. So it's either going to be the use of an ATM that's located at a gambling venue. It's going to be the advent of online gambling. That's been huge. And particularly and sadly, I believe a lot of those organisations have deliberately targeted young men well, young men grow up and young men have families, and they're already caught in the web of that gambling cycle, and it's very hard for them to break that without help. First of all, they've got to admit that they've got a problem. Secondly, they've got to seek help. Thirdly, they've got to ask their partner for help. So it's a really big thing for people to admit that gambling has got away from them. There are paper trails, though, that can certainly establish that these people have been hiding and hiding for a long time. It's a bit like alcoholics, although some behaviour in alcoholics is a little more obvious and you can detect alcohol, etc.
In terms of families separating, is it better for the family to sort of separate when things are a bit calmer and maybe when it's a little bit earlier on in this piece, rather than it being because of a response to a massive incident like you've been talking about? Because obviously if things are a bit calmer, people can start to work through it and perhaps the divorce and separation process might be a bit more straightforward.
You've said it perfectly again. It's really best for the children if two people take a considered and long look at their relationship, and most importantly, how do we want to conduct our lives in the future? Those families tend to have better results for their children. The children don't skip a beat. They seem to be performing as well as they ever did at school. They've got the help and support that they need from mum and dad, because mum and dad aren't at each other's throats. The explosive negative impact where the children are aware of and have witnessed or even heard. If you think the children are tucked safely in bed, not listening to your fight, believe you me, they are. Those children, much slower rates of recovery, it can impact them adversely into the future. There's a lot of literature done around this, particularly with psychiatrists and psychologists, in terms of impact of violence on children. It's a fact well known. So the family that also breaks up at significant events, they mar that event for life in the life of the child. Christmas breakups are notorious. The child will forever remember Christmas as a time when mum and dad broke up and it was the saddest time of my life. So Christmas loses its taint. A lot of families are engaged in races these days. There's Family Day, for example, at Flemington. A lot of the clubs actively encourage this to be a positive and family event. Well, it can turn sour very quickly with the wrong combination of excessive gambling, excessive drinking, and the frustration of one person that leads up to that point where they just say, I'm done.
At the same time, trying to break up a family is obviously a decision that you don't take lightly. So it'd be hard to imagine someone saying, you know, maybe 2 weeks before Spring Racing Carnival, we've got to look at breaking up this relationship because I'm worried that you may go out of control during Spring Racing Carnival time.
No one ever leaves a relationship on a whim, particularly when there are children. It is easy to say, I'm going to leave. It's the hardest thing. I watch people literally go through agony. So the person who is deciding to leave goes on a very lonely, long journey before they actually leave. There's some statistical information in relation to women who are victims of family violence. It often takes them up to seven times of trying to leave before they finally leave. So the course to separation is long and hard and lonely for the person who wants the other person's behaviour to change. They often don't want the relationship to end. What they want to see is some significant and positive changes in family-focused behaviour from their other half.
And the other point as well is this is Spring Racing Carnival. From here we head into Christmas time, and that's obviously where tensions are quite high. I heard that apparently the most common day to break up is right around Christmas, almost 2 weeks out from Christmas apparently. So
yeah.
This is a very tough time of year that we're entering into now. What advice do you give to people that are perhaps listening to this? And there's probably people out there listening right now that are thinking, you know, my family is starting to sound a bit like what you're describing there. You know, I'm wondering about whether this is viable. What would you say directly to those people?
I'd try and talk it out first with your partner and see if you can reach some micro agreements. Don't hope for them to completely change overnight, but to say, look, maybe with things being a bit tight, maybe we need to talk about a gambling budget. Happy for you to have a flutter, but let's talk about that. If the relationship's too fractured for that, then I try and get a trusted third party, be it a member of the family or a friend that the other person trusts, get them to try and intervene. Because simply to say to your partner, we're in trouble, we need to go to counselling, that is a huge red flag, and that can often precipitate the wrong sort of reaction. So I'd take baby steps to see, is there an appetite to reach those micro-agreements? If there's been a long history of going to counselling and parties trying to get together again and the couple tries to get it back on track, then I'd press the counselling button because the other person's used to going. But I think there has to be some sort of declaration that I'm really struggling with this and I need your help and I need you to come with me. One of the most powerful things you can do is to ask the person who is the one that's misbehaving for help. You need to help me, because believe it or not, people actually want to feel good about themselves. So if you're able to turn it from you need the help, you turn it into a positive for that person who's drowning. Because often they're trapped in a world of bad or negative behaviours. They can't see the woods for the trees. They can't see a way out. And in the really, obviously, you don't stay if it's violent. If it's violent, that's what Victoria Police are for. That's when you need to pick up the phone and say, I can't endure another moment of this. You need to help me.
Yeah, probably important to have those fine lines. And I suppose the other challenge as well is that everyone has a different idea on how much gambling is appropriate. Some people think that no gambling at all is the way to go and any gambling is evil, whereas other people think, oh, it's fine to spend hundreds of dollars on a weekend and possibly even into the thousands and not bat an eye. So it's very hard to set that limit, I'd imagine, because everyone has such a different idea on what constitutes safe gambling.
Yeah, look, I was at the races with a girlfriend once and she said, oh, well, I had two on that. And I said, oh, yes, I had $2 each way. And she said, oh no, 200. And I said, I want you to do an experiment. On the next race, spend $2 each way and see if the reaction to the race is different. And she looked at me and said, I won. And guess what? I felt just as good for the $2 win as I did over the 200. And I just looked at her and I said, oh my God, you can't afford it. Money is so hard earned. And money is at the heart of these conversations, the gambling conversation, attitudes towards money. What is my attitude? What's your attitude towards money? What was my family's attitude? What was your family? Those differences really play out at these expensive times of year.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program. Such an important issue, and I think an angle that's perhaps not being covered just because of everything that's going on with the animals and the horse welfare. But this is, of course, a significant issue as well, and I'm glad we could talk about it today.
And thanks for showing the spotlight on it. That's really important.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much. Caroline Council joining us there.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.